Focused on Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your household. I'm your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
Woohoo! Here we go. It's-a-me. Board games.
It's-a-him. It's the one we all know.
It's a board game time.
It's a Mamma Mia, Papa Pia board game.
You know what? Hey, if Mario was a board game, which one would he be?
If Mario was a board game, he'd be checkers because he jumps all the time and there's red.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. And then does that make, like, Luigi chess? He's a little bit deeper.
No, I feel like... Oh, you think he's deeper? Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. I was going to say, like, Luigi's kind of an idiot, though, so, like... Whatever the dumbed-down version of checkers would be.
I don't think Luigi is the idiot of the two brothers. I think he's clumsy, but I think he's got a little bit more going on. He's not as surface-level as Mario is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's definitely got some more depth to him. Probably because he also gets, like, more speaking roles inside the video games than Mario does. Because Mario doesn't really... Mario's a mute. Well, that's not true, because he's saying a lot of wahoos.
He says, wahoo, it's-a-me, let's-a-go.
Yeah.
Take a this, Bowser, or something like that.
He dreams about spaghetti, and...
He does dream about spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
And Princess Peach. Yeah, I don't know. I just... I think Luigi... He's like, he's more into the arts than Mario.
Luigi's a cultured man.
Yes. Mario, you know, he got B's and such in school, if we were to grade where he was. But he was also, you know, on varsity football. And he's just kind of the everyman.
Well, you know, Mario's also... I mean, he is the everyman for sure, but he also has a ton of other sort of... his resume is really long, is what I'm trying to say, because he was also the ref in Super Punch-Out.
And, really?
Yeah, in the original one, he was the ref. The point of including him there was just for, like, recognition and being like, look, this is a Nintendo game. There's Mario being the ref. And there's Mario, like, he was like cast in like a lot of different things, like, I don't know, just to like put him there, but the original one, I mean, they got their own ref eventually, because Mario probably had to do other things, like race a kart or something like that, or go into space, but he's been around. If you look up like Mario cameos, you could probably find like a ton of jobs that he's worked.
Let me see Mario's resume. I want to see everything that he's ever done.
Extensive. Very, very extensive.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, we all know that he's played many sports, but I guess everyone else in the Mario universe plays those sports as well.
They love sports.
Yeah.
They love
Big into sports.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what Nintendo needs to do next. Super Mario Poets, and it's
Super
all
Mario
your favorite.
Poets.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a twist. Super Mario sculptors, and they all you have to sculpt things against each other.
Well, this should bring back, and I think I'm not the only one to say this, but they should bring back like a Mario Paint, where it wasn't quite. I mean, they have like a touchscreen and whatnot, and it's like, well, no, actually, the Switch is not a touchscreen anymore.
Yes, it is. Well, mine is.
Oh, mine probably is too. I probably just haven't touched it. but okay, so if they have that technology, they could easily do that again and like get some sort of thing. I mean, maybe they just know it's like everyone's got like an iPad now. Who wants to be like a serious artist? But like, I feel like to like some inspiring children and whatnot, that would be like a huge deal. Or inspiring artists who are children. Yeah. No one's inspiring to be a child, but. I mean, maybe it goes the other way around.
There's all those things about, you know, finding your, well, I don't know, I think it's just a stereotypical therapist thing, but finding your inner child or whatever. Yeah. So maybe that's the next Mario game. Mario Therapy.
That could be their tag. Okay, well, yeah, that actually, I now forget Mario Paint. I want Mario Therapy.
There's like Mario those sit me down in a lounge chair and diagnose the real Bowsers of my life and help confront them.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be like, you know, ask them, like, you know, what all the blue shells, all the blue shells that you've hit in your life and
yeah.
the kind of turbulence that they've caused you. I like this because there's also like a ton of different, well, not maybe a ton, but I think, you know, text therapy is now really sort of blown up in terms mm-hmm. of accessibility. So
right.
why not just get it on the Switch now? And you can even include other characters. Like you can unlock Link as a therapist or unlock. Yeah, they would just be like yelling the whole time. Yeah, I mean, that would be different kinds of. Maybe you don't unlock them. Maybe after you type in a bunch of. Like, you type in a thing of, like, what sort of professional help that you may need.
Yeah.
Maybe the Switch will diagnose you with, like, you just need someone to scream at you for a long, long yeah. time.
Maybe and... scream along with them, and, you know, you'll see how that really makes you feel.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's you take your Switch outside, and then you just stand on your roof, and then you scream Link's, like, wonderful catchphrases. I think I clipped the mic on that.
Yeah, I probably did on mine, too, but that's fine. We're professionals.
We're professionals. This is professional. Yeah. But you get the picture, so. I would buy this game.
When you wake up in the morning, do you feel like a mushroom or a red shell?
Yeah. Are you a toad like, or a Goomba?
Do you need a one-up in your life?
Don't you wish you could just put on a star power before confronting a tough situation? Well, oh, yeah. with this game, which we like to think is more than a game. It's a,
yeah. This lifestyle application, I guess.
Yeah. Give your heart invincibility.
Yeah. Make cool. your mind. Turn your mind into Peach's Castle, a labyrinthian area, but you will discover those locked doors and rooms. Dive into the pictures of your mind and come out a star.
Yeah. This is all good things to consider. Miyamoto, if you're listening, you're welcome.
Yeah, commercial right there. We basically just wrote the you know, on like games how they have like this like two or three sentences of what it's about and maybe yeah. some like catchy things. Boom, done right there. Just take that audio. You're welcome.
It can be the commercial, the video portion of it could be like a kid crying at lunch because he's getting bullied. And then he, like, turns on his Switch, and then he, like, talks to Mario through the Switch or whatever. And then the next yeah. time that he sees that bully, he's glowing like he has a star power, and the bully tries to, like, knock him down with words, but he's invincible to it. He cannot be touched because he had the help of Mario to walk
too
him
confident,
through his feelings.
Too powerful. Release your inner Wahoo.
Eat that mushroom and get big on the inside.
Yeah. Make your confidence fire flower. I don't know.
Jump down a pipe and the pipe is your brain. Then the brain's got a bunch of money in it. Then grab the money.
Grab the money. Find the gold.
Find the gold. Jump on the flag. That's it. Go, 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 go.
The princess is in another castle.
Princess, quick. Just turns to immediate panic.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's like any... I've never been, but that's like any therapy session, obviously.
Yeah. Always turns to panic.
Maybe this is just me coming to terms with that. I need to go find someone. And then when I do, just be like, could you do it like Mario?
No, I think you hit it pretty good on the head. I think we're both good. I also Perfect. Have not been to therapy or has exercised it as much. As maybe one could, but you know, it's
it's not like we're saying that therapy's dumb and nobody should go.
No, absolutely not.
There's different ways. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's like those people, you know, those people that are like, and I'm laughing at this because of how stupid it is.
Good.
It's like,
good start.
It's like those people that are like, who needs to go to therapy? Just go take a nice walk in nature. Like,
oh, yeah.
You don't need to pay anyone to talk through your feelings. Just like, have you ever smelled a bird? It's like, those people don't understand.
That's all the therapy that I need.
Yeah, it's like they don't understand. Like, I'm sure that works for you, and that's great. That's great that you don't need that sort of service, but to put down a bunch of other people that do need that service, or like to make them make them feel bad of like, you're an idiot for needing to talk to someone.
You don't like being a tree by yourself. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, those
squeeze
are
squeeze a rock.
Squeeze. Yeah. There's plenty of ways to, make someone feel good about themselves, and everyone's got different sort of things. So we're definitely not in the boat of like one size fits all, and if it's not my size, then your size is wrong, and I hate you.
We are just trying to appeal to the people that have been looking for answers, and all along it was Mario that they needed.
Yes. As long as the size is wahoo, then you're good. Everything else you should not be paying for.
Exactly. Maybe we could even get, actually, as I say this, I don't know if, or the living status of this, but maybe we could get the actors from the live action Mario to give us a little bit of voice lines and stuff for these therapy sessions.
I don't know if those people are still alive.
Yeah.
But
well, there's that new one coming out, so maybe we could get Chris Pratt on board.
Oh no. Oh god. Yeah. I don't know.
I already regret saying that.
I'm afraid he's never gonna say let's go, because I don't think they're doing it in a way. I'm pretty sure I read an interview that was like,
we're changing the formula.
Yeah, they're purposely like not casting. Like, he's gonna be like, "What's up? I'm Mario. Let's go get
a pizza."
That's
so disappointing. He's basically just gonna be Star-Lord again. Which again, like, I like the first Guardians of the Galaxy. The second one was okay, but you know, that's just opinion. But either way, I don't want to see Star-Lord in overalls. You know,
well,
I want to see Mario.
Why even make a movie about that if you're not gonna have him be like. Like that thing. Like, imagine any sort of video game franchise. Like, if they made an Overwatch movie or something like that, and like Tracer wasn't like a happy, chippy kind of like person.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, is that even
Hello,
like what's
I'm
the
Tracer.
Point of...
I'm here to vengeance. Just like
Tracer's a
right.
dude, and Tracer, it's like the
in
the
fact,
Dragon
it's basically
Ball
just it's just the Expendables again, but with Overwatch
man.
Characters.
That'd be tight, actually. They should, have Sylvester Stallone as Tracer.
Trying to think of Bruce Willis as...
You left me quiet there. I didn't know if that was a good thing.
honestly,
don't you ever bring Sylvester Stallone into this podcast.
I was searching my brain for the cast of The Expendables, and the only one I could come up with was Terry Crews, but I actually don't even know if he's in those movies. Is he?
I haven't seen them. Probably. I mean,
we'll leave it at probably.
We'll leave it at probably. Arnold Schwarzenegger made a cameo, so he could be Reinhardt.
Oh, there we go. Jason Statham, I think?
Yeah, Jason Statham for sure is in that.
Look, all I'm going to say is I'm definitely not going to look it up. I'm just going to keep just assuming action stars are in this movie because it's a movie about burnt out old action stars.
Yeah, and they made three of them.
Really? I thought there were only two.
I'm pretty sure there was three Expendables.
Can't wait for the reboot when it's Robert Downey Jr., John Krasinski.
We can throw Star-Lord or whatever that guy's name in there too.
Yeah,
because he's been
all the Chris's, Hemsworth, Pine, Pratt. All of them.
Just a gaggle of Chris's. I would love that, actually. Love, actually.
That's what I love, actually. Okay. We make board games. That's what we do here. We don't just talk about interests and bounce around randomly. So let's make a board game.
Let's make a board game.
Let's do it.
I have some suggestions.
Shoot.
From Twitter user SleepiestHag.
Oh.
The original Sleepiest Hag. And there's two of them here. We can do one or the other, or we can combine them. I think it might be hard to combine them, but we'll see.
Let's hear them. Let's do it.
The first one is Iron Chef the board game.
That's good.
However that would work. I have a feeling, though, that there's already an Iron Chef the board game. Because if there can already be a Kenny G board game, which is a real board game that's called, like, Getting Saxy With It, then there's probably a good chance. Yeah,
why are we even making games anymore if they already made the best game in the world?
Yeah, there's a Kenny G board game. They sell it at Target. I didn't buy it. So Iron Chef the board game. If there's already one out there, fine. We can make up a new one. Fine. We can probably make it better. And then the second one is just a phrase, clown combat. Whatever clown that combat. Could be. Clown combat.
Okay. All right. So first one, Iron Chef, the game, the board game. I'm honestly imagining like a board game version or a stylized version of like Overcooked. You have characters running around a kitchen, prepping things, and as you go, you get new orders and wacky things happen.
Couldn't be new orders because there's only one order.
Okay, so we're going like right off of Iron Chef.
Well, yeah, if it's going to be Iron Chef the board game,
Fair enough.
Then we could just make like the Great American Food Truck Race the board game for different orders. Well, but no, nobody knows that show.
To insert a little bit of board game-ness, I mean, I feel like... Okay, all right. Well, then let me just ask you this. If we do Iron Chef, where is, like, the I guess, mechanics of either competition between... Is it going to be how well can you do as your players or your team or whatever in creating whatever dishes you need, and that is settled by either dice rolls or... you know, actions or cards that you play or whatever, or is it like a competitive back and forth? Like, I know that this doesn't happen in Iron Chef, but like, I don't know, like maybe the competition here is that you have not only cards or things that you play to enhance your dishes and make them better, but you can also kind of sabotage the other team or like throw, even if it's not like your character's physically doing something, like maybe like, I don't know, like, you have a card in your hand that says, like, your burner was on too high. Like, your thing is about to be burnt. Like, what do you do? And then there's, like, counterplay and stuff to that. But it's just kind of, like, more, like, situational, like... or, I guess, like, situations becoming problems that are being thrown back and forth by both teams.
You know what I'm thinking? Okay, so those are all very good questions to be raising.
Go for it.
In this podcast. But what I'm already thinking is that you're right that maybe Iron Chef doesn't have enough dynamics to it to make it, you know, to like adapt it to a board game. I mean, I'm somewhat thinking like there's a lot of different sort of recipes to make, and like every single Iron Chef, there's a different key ingredient that would be like a card you flip over to change the actual board game itself. Mm-hmm. But what we could do, because I like the idea of sabotage, do you know the game show Cutthroat Kitchen?
I do know it. I don't watch it.
Okay, so, well, do you know enough about it to know how that game show works?
Kind of. Why don't you just go ahead and explain it for me and the listener? How about that?
Okay, so for those who don't know about Cutthroat Kitchen, it's hosted by Alton Brown, who is a food wizard. He went to videography school because he already knew how to be a chef, and he just wanted to learn how to, you know, make a good video for it. That's a real fact about Alton Brown. He didn't need any...
Alton Brown went to video school to prove that he's better than you.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got some chef experience himself, but he went to specifically study how to make a video.
Got it.
In a time before YouTube. So, of course. Anyways... So Alton Brown hosts this. Every single contestant has a sum of, I think, like $20,000 that they start the game with. You just have that from there. Then there's three rounds and four contestants. Each round, a contestant is knocked out at the end of it. But in the between round, or to get started for it, first of all, there is a race to pick up a bunch of ingredients. Well, okay, so first they're told what the actual thing they're trying to cook is. And then there is a... then there is, like, a pantry that's got, like, a garage door on it. And then the contestants have, like, a minute to run into that garage and pick up as many things as they can before this garage door closes.
I like don't Indiana know what Jones style?
Yeah, like Indiana Jones style. Actually, I think like the door is just closed side to side, but it is Indiana Jones style that if you get locked in there, I actually don't know what happens. I don't know if you don't get to compete, because out of all the episodes that I've seen, I've never seen anyone. I've seen people cut it really close, but...
they kill you. You're dead. It's like Squid Games.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you do get some sort of penalty. I don't know if it's as extreme as like you don't get to cook and you're just out. But you do get a penalty.
Time penalty.
Yeah. Excuse me. Anyways.
Go ahead. You're fine.
So. And I should also say, when you're in the garage, you're doing a mad dash and you're just like putting things in a basket. And like anyone can grab anything before you and like go from there. So then after that, there is an auction phase that Alton Brown will auction off penalties for a certain price. And you could bet people up. So you're using that $20,000 that he gave you to say, like, give the one of the chefs, they have to, like, tape their arms together so that they can only cook with, like, one appendage. Or give someone, you auction off, like, someone has to cook on just, like, a mini stovetop oven. And it's, like, as much as, like, bidding starts at, like, a certain price, and then, like, if you are just the one that bids and wins, then you get to give that to someone. So there's that opportunity to, like, sabotage them. And then the rest of it is just, like, cooking with whatever sort of, things that happen, you know, disadvantages that, like, happen. You have to cook through it. And then, like, the person that comes in and, like, guesses it or judges it doesn't care at all what sort of disadvantages that you had. It's just about the quality of the food. And then in addition, last thing, Alton will sometimes have a mid-game auction where in the middle of cooking, he's like, I've got something new here. Like, who wants me to go in there and, like, spit in their opponent's pasta bowl? Something like that.
Oh, my God.
But basically, that's the whole show. And then, like, whoever wins... the final thing, whatever money that they didn't use to buy, like, disadvantages, gets to keep that money. So, that's it.
All right. I love board gamifying this, but man, Cutthroat Kitchen is right. That is sounds like a very brutal game, but... okay. So, if we did want to combine the ideas, there could be some clownery... some clowning that happens, and all the, you know, you are clowns, but you're clowns cooking.
Tentative name, Cutthroat Clowns.
I was like thinking like, no.
Tentative name. We can leave it there. We'll circle back to it. I just wanted to throw that out there.
one that I just said immediately in my head was shut up and cook. Like, that's like,
yeah. Okay, fair. That's an option as well.
Turn that clown upside frown. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Okay, so, and again, we don't have to combine that, or at least the two ideas, but I do like the idea, mechanics-wise, how I feel like this would work, is I think everyone... You would have cards, or you'd have teams, probably, you know, whatever they would come up with, two teams of two, three teams of two, blah, 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 whatever, or even just individual. At the beginning of the game, I think everyone gets different individual things that they're trying to cook, or do you think it should just be one central thing that everyone is trying to do, and you see it in the middle of, like, the board or whatever, that it would be what everyone's trying to put together? So that's known.
I mean, that would be more on the line of Cutthroat Kitchen, that everyone's trying to make a certain
and that is
thing.
That is also more in the vein of Iron Chef too. I know Iron Chef has a
well, they do the same in like basically ingredient. all cooking.
Yeah, that it has to be included in every dish. Okay, so let's do that. Let's do at the beginning of the game, or like a round, however we decide it would all go. A card is flipped over that designates, maybe even it has like, you must have at least, you know, one dish that has this, and then you must have another dish, or all dishes must contain like blank ingredient, like whatever it is. So like you just have to find that ingredient in general. And then how I think this would go is it would be like you would have like an auction thing go off, like maybe like it is like almost like Cutthroat Kitchen, like you said, like you get to only use one hand during the pantry phase, if we're going, you know, one to one. And pantry phase would be like huge stacks of cards, and you have to physically pick them up and find the things that you want. I think in order to make it like it's more of a time limit of like what you can find or whatever, and you can't just grab, you know, a whole stack of cards and pull it. You only get to take out like maybe like, I don't know, let's call it like 10 cards for the pantry phase. So you have to go through the decks and like find physically what you want. And I'm thinking like thousands of cards. I'm like tons of cards that you have to go through.
Most of the boxes are the cards.
Right. And so as I'm saying, so like during a pantry phase, like if someone bids it up, like you can only use one hand. You have to put a hand behind your back as you like single-handedly go. I feel like that'd be really hard.
That's
like
a pretty good one. Yeah.
And then maybe how it works is like, Maybe everyone gets their own decks, but the Indiana Jones moment, the getting out before the timer goes up, is that you have to have your deck stand in a stack by the time the timer goes out. So you can spread them out and get as crazy as you want, but whatever happens, you can have at the max 10 things that you've pulled out, and then also your stack has to be upright at the end.
I love that idea. That's a good sort of one-to-one for, because yeah, you can pull a bunch out and stuff like that and have them sort of spread around, and whatever you don't want you have to like stack it back up. Can I throw like maybe a different element into this as well?
Do it.
Or a new
throw
element.
Another ingredient in this board game gumbo.
What if this was also done at a rodeo, and that these are rodeo clowns, and that there's a bull running around? And one of the ways that you can sabotage is like having distracting the bull to run into your opponent's oven. And then it like breaks it.
You know what? You know how I feel like you could gamify that? And I actually really like that, is that there is like, this is a very high intensity panic reaction time game. It would almost be like whack-a-mole that like, okay, so not only do you have the stack of cards that you're trying to frantically go through and find the things that you need and even some other things that you want, but maybe there's also like a button that would be synced up between however many people are playing. And if like the red light goes on, you have like maybe even like a second, if that or whatever, to hit the button with something or somehow. Otherwise you're, you know, quote unquote hit by the bull. And if like a buzzer goes off or something, you have to like pull your hands up from the table, and you just simply cannot do an action until like, or like maybe like it, you know, it doesn't have to be a loud buzzer or anything, but either way, there's like an alarm of some sort that everyone can identify and see, and you have to put your hands up until the thing stops. So not only are you, going through, like I said, trying to get as much as you can, but you're also keeping an eye on this, you know, red button or whatever, and you have to slap it before it hits you and goes off, and you're sent hurtling into the stands as
what
a
if
rodeo
we,
clown.
What if we just even went like a step further, that like, what if we made it so that it was like a physical piece that was moving around, not on like a track, like we would have it move automatically, like, I don't know, like the bowl would be magnetized, and then somehow like this little magnet would get shifted around onto an actual board, and your little clown is cooking somewhere in the middle of this rodeo, and as you're doing stuff with like these cards, you're also keeping an eye on your clown and where it's positioned around this oven, and at any given point, you have to like put your cards down if that bowl starts teetering closer and closer to you as it's like kind of like going on this random path. You have to, like, then, like, put your cards down and, like, move your clown, and then put them on like a different side of the oven or something like that, or get them to hide inside of a barrel, and then
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, the I mean, because
what
the,
if?
Yes, go ahead. No. All I was gonna say was because the barrel's pretty key in the rodeo.
I think how we could set it up is, is a little magnetized bowl winds up or whatever. We'll let the eggheads figure that out.
Yeah, Runs. Hey, eggheads, you listening? Just get the bowl to run. Yeah. That's all we
just
care
get it
about.
To run around, okay? Just get it to move. All right.
We don't care how.
So the bowl runs around, and like if it like hits like an edge or like where it like can't go, it'll like turn around and come back and like move around.
Yeah, give it that Roomba technology.
Your clown is more of just like a piece that's like sitting there or whatever, and it's just a representation of the clown being there cooking and stuff. And underneath it is a barrel. If the bowl comes over and your clown is above the barrel at the time when it is cooking or doing whatever, and the bowl hits it, it'll be a very, you know, lightly attached piece. Your clown gets sent off, the bowl, you know, runs away or whatever, and then you have to, I don't know, I guess just reattach the clown, and that's when you would be able to start going through and doing your stuff. Like, if your clown gets hit off, you have to stop. And I mean, yeah. I imagine it'd be kind of a noticeable thing, so the other teams would know that you'd have to put your clown back. But if you see the bowl coming, you can, like, yeah, maybe even press, like, a little, like, it's almost like the opposite of whack-a-mole. You are the mole. And you press a little thing, and your clown ducks into the barrel, and you have to hold it until the bowl comes by and, you know, basically bounces off your kitchen equipment and then goes in a different direction.
Well, what if we did it like... Yeah, I like that idea. We can have it so, like, the barrels are, like,
you have
some
to duck.
Sort of propellant. Well, it's, like, it's not even that. It's, like, I mean, obviously, like, we can just make the rules say something like, so long as your clown is in the barrel, you can't do anything. And, like, that should be enough.
Oh. Maybe how we'd physically do it is that, like, as you see the bowl coming, you have a little switch on your side of the board that you press it, and the barrel comes up to block the clown, since the clown is the fragile piece.
Well, I mean, I think the barrels should be actually on the board as well, because imagine this. Excuse me. Clearing my throat for this one.
Get real into it.
Imagine that there's, like, say, two teams of people or something of that nature, and in any of the clowns can like cook at a time, but whenever someone's cooking, then the person has to like trade off and like give them that hand to cook or something like that, or maybe there's different stations or something like that, so, and they're all kind of separate from each other, so that when one thing is done on one of the stations, you have to say like roll a dice and then move some designated pieces while avoiding it. And you can only move after you roll the dice. So that, like, would kind of increase the intensity of, like, needing to get high rolls, needing to move faster, needing to roll quickly and whatnot. So, but then in addition to that, you can not only go to over to your station, but you can go over to other people's stations. And if you see some clowns clowning around with your barrel, like, they can just take it away from you and, like, move it. So, like, your only effective strategy would then to be... like to roll dice to get away from the bowl, or like run it, like move around in a different way. But like, that's another sort of element of like sabotage going into it, being like, we're gonna actually pick up your barrel and like we're gonna carry it away over to our side, so now we have like an extra barrel. Or like maybe there's barrels all around like this arena, and then you quickly have to go over to like the edge of the arena, grab another one for yourself, or go over to the other side and try to, I don't know, like basically like steal it back. And all of this stuff would be done in like, there's no turns, it's all done in real time.
Yeah.
If you see someone like rolling dice and moving their person over to you, and they're like just quickly rolling it as they're like running across the stage, you know that they're going to be up to something. So maybe you've got something like, maybe you just used a banana in one of your recipes. Now you got a peel, you can put that peel out in front of them and
make them that
slip and fall, you know. These are some of the different ways we can go about this. But I kind of like the idea of, like, the barrel being a physical piece that you... like, I like the idea that you can actually take your little guy and, like, put him in there, and he fits really snug. And that's how you know it's, like, occupied. But then other than that, you know, it's something that you can actually move. Maybe you can steal a barrel while there's a clown in it. Who knows? You know? These are all just things to think about.
I have an idea. I love all this. I think all this should be in the game, but I think a good end game, or at least I think I have a good way that the game would actually end and someone would win.
Okay.
But I think
that's a good part that we're missing, so I'm glad that you thought of that.
I think how you win this game is you just simply finish the task. It's whoever can do the thing first, but much like cooking and having to actually wait and do stuff. So let's say that, you know, it's you against me and we have to make a pie. We have the pantry phase before the bowl is out and we're looking through and we're trying to grab all of our, you know, ingredients and stuff. And let's say, you know, you get a pie tin, but I get some like things of crust and I get, you know, like a couple other things. Like we're both like close. And I imagine that all these recipes, no matter what, there are always going to be more than 10 cards that you need. Like, you're going to have to go back to the pantry, but that would be, you know, maybe, like you're saying, you physically have to move your piece across the stage safely without getting hit by the bull to get to the pantry, and while your piece is there, you can go through and, you know, check through, like, however much else you need.
Let's do that, because then... But then we should also keep the rule that whenever you leave the pantry, you have to make sure they're all stacked up neatly again.
Definitely.
I still like that. But yeah, let's not have like a lockout phase, but just like another thing to keep them occupied while there's bulls running around.
I think there should be a lockout phase, and I don't know what the punishment would be other than maybe your opponent gets like, and this board game box is going to be riddled with timers. I mean, like, just so many different timers, because this is my proposal, is that like at your station you have maybe like, I don't know, two burners, an oven, and another cooking item, a pot for boiling water. I don't know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You have a couple different things, and these are all represented by maybe physical, like, little placemats that you'd have on your side, and then timers associated with them. As you come back, if you know that, like, the pie calls for, and it would have kind of, like, things on it, you need to put a tin with like two things of crust or like two things of like bread or whatever, you know, card we use in the oven, and then flip the timer. So you put your three cards there and then you flip the timer and you have to wait until that timer goes down. Obviously, while that's happening, you can go around and do other stuff. But as like, you know, we're going, maybe you go to the pantry, maybe you're getting power ups or doing like other like sabotage things, like we're saying, like either grabbing the barrel or like you find other things in this arena. Like, if you're keeping track of your opponent, you see that timer go down, 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 down. It's like just at the end. And then boom, like I play a card on you that says like, no oven malfunction. It wasn't on this entire time. You have to flip your timer again. And then you have to wait for that timer to go again for your oven to be done to get the crust out. And then, you know, filling, I don't know how to make a pie, but you know what I'm saying? It's like,
we should do that. But like, yeah, I like that idea, but like we should do that only if like, they're next to the oven. Like, you should be able to,
you
like,
have to be over there.
Yeah. Like, you can do that. And you can see, like, the clowns coming and being like, hey, get away from our oven. I don't like what you're doing. So here's, like, a barricade of barrels that you have to move individually to get around us.
Or there's a card that says bop them on the nose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something like that. But, like, yeah, I like that idea where it's like, the timer's going. That's the opportune time to basically mess with everyone else and, like, do sabotages. And, you know, depending on, like, task or stage you're at, you can have more of the ability to do that. I also like the idea real quick of, like, for some, like, not necessarily mini games, but, like, objectives to do, like, chop up the cherries. You have to roll, like, three doubles to succeed, and then like you have like a certain amount of dice that you're allowed to roll depending on how much you auctioned off the ability to get that dice. So it's like I have to roll three doubles, like not necessarily in a row, but like period, and then like that mini task is done and now I have like chopped, I don't know, cherries or something like that.
That's good.
So you could be doing those things to benefit you like maybe later stages in your cooking experience while this timer is still going down. But then once that timer's done, then you can, like, do other things.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, is that, like, much like cooking, you have multiple things going at the same time. Like, you know, you put the water on to boil, if you're, you know, boiling water or whatever, but you don't just sit there and watch it, you know, go. You get your other things out. You chop. You do all these different things. And so it is just simply the fact that you are trying to do multiple things. You're trying to keep watch on your oven. I don't think there'd be any like if the timer goes out, if it fully goes all the way, then I like to think that there's no like sabotage at that point. If you successfully got away with, or you know, maybe the other team did have an idea of coming over and sabotaging you, but you were, again, this is a fast paced game. You were going, they were going, they got lost in it, and unfortunately you know, two steps to their one got done, and that's
or maybe
it.
Like they could come back, or they realize like the timer, like, you know, because everyone's basically following the same recipe. They're like, okay, we missed the timer sabotage on this one. Let's try to get it on the next one, and
right,
you know, complete it from there.
Yeah, and so then, you know, whatever the recipe calls for in putting together this whole thing, as soon as one team finishes, as soon as that timer goes or whatever, you know, they can even yell like done or whatever. You can check their work. You can see if they got all of the different things, and boom, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like it. I think this is a pretty good one here.
Awesome.
Anything else you want to add to it?
I don't think so. I actually think this is like, have you ever played the card game? I think it's called Dutch Blitz.
Oh, yeah, Alice and I love that game. Actually, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It is exactly like Dutch Blitz, where you're all kind of just playing your own game and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's this one we call it Dutch Oven Blitz. That's a sabotage. Is that if you see a clown in a barrel, you can fart in it. It's a naughty word. If you fart in it, then I don't know what exactly that would do. But maybe we have like a whoopee cushion in the box that you can take it and just blast it in someone's face.
It's just funny. That's all it is. It's just a good time. Just funny.
It's just for a goof.
We team up with that company back in the 90s that made the stinky air guns or whatever.
And that's right.
Shoot stinky air at them.
And then your opponents have to smell it.
Yeah.
While they're trying to do their other things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, that's a good name, but like...
I wouldn't, let's not do that one.
No, I agree, we're not doing that. I'm just saying that that was good. That's a good one. Because, I mean, it's also got like the clownery in there. It's hilarious.
I'm glad that you like it so much. I don't think it's that good of a name, but I appreciate you.
Fair enough. Okay. So things about Rodeo Clowns, Iron Chef, and Cutthroat Kitchen. There's Kitchen Coliseum. So this would be like, you know, Clown Coliseum, but that doesn't really get the point across or all of it.
What do they call the place? What's the Iron Chef place? Don't they call it like?
Oh, isn't Iron Chef Kitchen Coliseum? Isn't that it?
No, I don't think it's Kitchen Coliseum, but I thought it was. Oh, it's Kitchen Stadium.
Kitchen Stadium, of course. Yes, the other one.
I mean, we can. Gosh, I was gonna think of it like a really fun pun to go with, like grab life by the horns, or. But it's it's not like that kind of. You're not the actual ones with the bowl, though. It's like something all between that and like with a food.
Yeah. Bowl in a kitchen shop. I don't know. Not bowl in a kitchen shop.
That's pretty. I know that's pretty good though. We're getting there.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like other.
Here comes Mr. Bowl. And that's it.
Here comes Mr. Bull. It's, you know what? He's actually the hero of this game. You stepped into his kitchen and you're just rebelliously cooking while you're here.
Yeah, it's like a whole bull family. Like, he's got a house and whatnot, and he was just like relaxing watching Sunday night football. Yeah. And then all of a sudden a bunch of clowns come in and start cooking in his kitchen. He's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And his kids are crying in the corner, and like his wife's like, "Harold, do something."
Yeah. In this game, you're actually the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. They're just raiding our pantry, just cooking random things.
I can't get them to stop. Please leave. Why do you do this?
Yeah. Is there anything we can do with Shodio?
That's good.
Get this Shodio on the road, on the rocky road.
Cooking. Cooking. Instead of Tears for a Clown, it's Cooks for a Clown.
I don't even know what Tears for a Clown is.
Tears for a Clown? Wait, isn't that like a, it's like a saying or something? All right, here we go. To the internet.
Is it a saying?
For... Oh, it's a song. Oh, by Tears who? Of a Clown. Tears of a Clown, sorry.
Is it a love song?
Let's find out. It's an old one. Reading. I think it is. Just like Pagliacci, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. I think it is. It's about someone who should be happy, but they're sad. So, you know.
Got it.
Stuff like that.
Hey, real quick, looking at my audio here, just totally not anything to do with the podcast. Just keep listening, though. Is there like a low humming coming from my mic here?
No.
Okay. Well, can't wait to hear what that might sound like later. That by looking at this thing, it's like spiking in like weird ways.
Ruh-roh. Well, let's put a bow on this one so we can wrap it up.
let's wrap this one up.
Okay.
Clown. I suggested Cutthroat Clowns.
Yeah, Cutthroat Clowns. But that's the thing. It's like, it's, I mean, yes, it is cutthroat, but like, there's just so much more at play than just the theming of Cutthroat Kitchen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's true.
I'm fine with it. If anything, maybe can we add like a colon and, you know, throw in a little bit of like a subtitle in there?
Well, look, we don't make board games to just be fine with it. Board games for them to be exceptional. So yes, if you want to keep workshopping this, I'm fine with that too. I just wanted to throw that back out there. That clown. Maybe we could go somewhere with Cutthroat Clowns.
Yeah.
We could even go, like, we don't even need to use the word, like, clowns itself. We can do, like, say the word jesters or famished fools.
Oh, that one's pretty good.
Go with, something of that nature. It doesn't specifically need to be clowns. Oh, and there we go. Now the buzzing, the humming's gone. Anyways, sorry.
We'll never know what
that saga.
Yeah. Exciting subplot.
What's that humming in the background?
Put your skills to the jest. Cooking up trouble. Mr. Bowl on the loose.
You're so close. Put your skillets to the jest.
Oh, put your skillets to the jest. That's it.
That's exceptional. That's exceptional work right there.
I'll put my I'll sign, seal, deliver that one. I'll bring it to your door myself.
Put your skillets to the jest.
Put your
What was the other thing that you said?
Oh man. Put your skillets to the jest. This isn't it, but now I don't know why. Clown Town Showdown. Put your skills, and then the last part was Mr. Bull on the loose.
Mr. Bull on the loose. I mean,
put your skillets to the test, and then just maybe no, Mr. Bull on the loose.
Skillets to the jest.
Wait, that's just what I said.
Jest has to stay in. No, you said test.
Oh, whoops, sorry.
Pretty sure. I mean, that's fine. As long as we both agree now that when it gets out to the world, it'll be skillets to the jest.
Oh, definitely.
Mr. Bull on the loose.
Put your skillets to the jest, : Mr. Bull on the loose. Okay, yep, that's perfect.
That's it.
There we go.
All right, who goes first?
I mean, it seems like everything just kind of happens at the same time here.
Oh, yeah, no, you're that is what we decided. So, but we can maybe have some sort of...
I have one suggestion.
So you say what you're saying first. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the who goes first here is really just who gets to decide Mr. Bull's starting direction.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Yeah.
He starts in the middle, and you get to point him in whatever direction you want before the game officially starts.
Because that is basically then giving you the advantage of like having gone first, because there's less of a chance that Mr. Bull will turn around and do Bull things to you.
You know what I think? The way to decide it is that like in this pantry phase, as people are frantically looking through cards to grab everything and all that, maybe there are a couple of cards like in everyone's stack, but there's a couple of cards that just say Mr. Bull. So if you really want to, you can spend one of your 10 cards that you get to pull a Mr. Bull, but in the event that, you know, two people have tied... Oh, no, wait. This is what you do. In the pantry phase, if you want, you do have to sacrifice one of your ingredient slots or whatever, but if you pull a Mr. Bull card out and flip it over for everyone to see, you get to decide which direction he goes. It's just the first person to do that.
We could do that. So, this is only during the first setup phase, then.
Yeah, like, since the pantry phase happens simultaneously, a timer goes, everyone has to look through their things, and Mr. Bull is not out yet. This is pre-cooking. This is simply ingredient gathering phase. If you want, you can pull a Mr. Bull card as one of your 10 cards, and then as soon as you slam that bad boy down, you get to decide which direction he starts in once the game officially starts.
Okay. I like that. That's fine with me. Just real other quick tangent. I had an idea for like another piece of equipment or like sabotage thing that a clown could have.
Do it.
Is that they could have like a red cape, and that if they use the red cape card, they could direct the bull even while the game is going on to point at them. So they could run over to like the other side and do like a cape, or they could use it to get them away from their kind of oven thing. So,
yeah. That's a good
idea.
That's
just one thing I wanted to throw out there. Anyways, so the who goes first is really just decided just during the pantry phase or that portion of it. We don't want to add anything like who can name every single kind of meat cut of a cow to decide which way Mr. Bull goes.
Maybe
sirloin, tenderloin, chuck roast.
Chuck roast. That doesn't sound right.
I'm pretty sure.
Tongue.
Neck. Tongue. Well, those are just body parts now. Well, I'm talking about every single meat cut.
Oh, the cuts. Like the butt, which is actually the shoulders. Or that's a pig.
I don't know.
I forget.
That's what you gotta study up on.
We would not be going first, is what you have
Mr.
decided.
Mr. Bull would always be heading towards us.
Yeah, exactly.
If you
don't like it in the pantry phase, I mean, it could be a totally different, you know, like how we've done like a little different mini game that you play before the round start. But I think again that like again the equivalent of who goes first is what direction Mr. Bull starts in.
Yeah. Nah, let's do it in the pantry phase. I was just throwing out. I didn't want to, you know, land on our first option, just see how we felt about the something else. But I think you're correct that would be the way that it should play out.
Like all good science, you got to go at it twice, Albert
Einstein. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He said...
Did he say that?
Nah, I don't know. Probably not.
Looking at a picture of Dr. Wily from Mega Man, so... Maybe he said it.
There we go. Like all... Oh, man. Can we... There we go. That's just included on the box randomly somewhere. Like all good science, you got to go at it twice. Dr. Wily. From Mega Man.
Dr. Wily from the Mega Man franchise.
Yeah. You know what? And I'm confident enough that that's our sign out, too.
Should we plug... To plug the other things that we have.
Yeah, no. We're gonna plug everything else, but there's your line, everyone.
Get ready, listeners, to hear that one again.
Oh, no, I'm
gonna come.
No, I meant like that's it. That's the only time you get it.
Wait, I'm really confused. Are we done with the podcast and we're just signing off?
Thanks for listening, everybody. We have been Misdun Needs More Games. You can find us at PatchPotch LLC and Twitter, and you can email us at PatchPotchRND. To spell it, it is PATCHPOTCH. Anything else?
No, I think we have lined up a great quote from Dr. Wiley. Nick, would you like to say that?
Like all again? good science, you gotta go at it twice.
All right, see ya.
Okay, bye.